Welcome to the Middle East Report, your connection to truthful reporting on Israel and the Middle East. I'm John Riley. Each week, I try to give you a sense of what's happening in that region from a biblical lens, because if you're not understanding what's happening in that region through a biblical lens, then you're not going to be able to understand what's happening in Israel and the Middle East. There's a lot going on right now all over Israel, all around the world, even in this country, that we need to be aware of. And I just met a good friend at the Israel Summit Conference in Nashville, Tennessee, Rabbi Ishai Flesher. He is the international spokesperson for the Jewish community of Hebron. And Ishai, it is so nice to meet you. I've heard so much about you and what you do in the land of Israel. For people who don't know you, don't know what you do in the land of Israel, tell everybody what your heart is for the land of Israel and what you guys do.
Well, it's not just the heart, it's also the body. I live in the land of Israel. I'm Jewish. I'm an Orthodox rabbi. I'm also a spokesman for the Jewish community of Hebron, which is the seat of the tomb of the patriarchs and matriarchs, what I call the mamas and the papas, Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebekah, Jacob and Leah. It's 1 hour south of Jerusalem in the mountains, Hebron. It's chapter 23 of the book of Genesis, tells the story of Abraham's original purchase of a plot of land that would become the tomb, the sepulcher, for the majority of the stars of the book of Genesis, the founders. I'm very, very into the book of Genesis. I think that the book of Genesis should be studied by all. I think that if you want to keep your kids healthy, teach them the book of Genesis. I think the book of Genesis is the most important, it's the foundation of our biblical faith, and I think that we could all get around one great character, one great forefather, and that is Abraham. And I think that that's something that can bring Jews, Christians, and Muslims, and everybody together around the personage of Abraham. And so I'm a big believer in that, and I'm a promoter of that. I'm also a person who's fighting for Jewish rights in Judea and Samaria, the so-called West Bank, Jewish rights in ancestral Judea. And I'm also a councilman in the city that I live in, which is the biggest city in Judea, called Ephrat, which is part of, it's the outskirts of Bethlehem. So I got Bethlehem out my window, one direction, and past that is Jerusalem, and then the other way is Beersheba or Beersheba and Hebron. And so these are the some of the real foundational cities, and I get to traverse them every day, fight the battles to make these cities beautiful, whole, and I'm so grateful to God for that opportunity. And we're living in a period where 7 million Jews live in the Holy Land because God is fulfilling his redemptive vision that he promised so long ago to ingather the exiles. So that's basically, there you go, that's what I'm up to.
I want you to help people who are listening to understand the city of Hebron. Now, is that a city that is completely Jewish, or what's going on there in Hebron? And you know, we hear about Hebron in the news a lot. Can you just give people an understanding of how things are right there in Hebron? And then maybe talk about, you mentioned the West Bank. Is there a West Bank?
Okay, these are issues that are big and they need to be unpacked. I'll try to do it concisely. Basically, the land of Israel, it's very clear what it is. It's, today there's a slogan about it, from the river to the sea. That's the basic land of Israel. There's other ways to measurements. There's other measurements of it. But the bottom line is that Israel declared independence in 1948, was attacked, lost a lot of land to Jordan. And then that land was actually the ancestral biblical heartland. Later on, in 1967, in a miraculous war, we liberated those lands. And Israel did not fully annex those lands that it liberated from the Jordanians, that was originally Jewish land, and kept it in a middle kind of status. And that came to be known as the West Bank, or the territories. And yet we, group of people that are nationalistic, patriotic, observant, Bible-minded, conservative, started settling, quote unquote, that land, and going into that land and saying to our own country, hey, it's time to annex and fully take this land into the purview of the state of Israel. There's been forces against us, both on the Israeli progressive and left forces that want to give away the land and create a Palestine, and parts of the international community. As we speak today, Ireland, Spain, and Netherlands, and Norway have recognized Palestine in our ancestral homeland. we are a counterforce to that. We are a counterforce to that. We believe that this is our land and we have to hold on to it. And we have to settle it, develop it, and make it into an integral part of Israel. Hebron is a contested city within that. Hebron is an ancestral Jewish city. Jews have lived in Hebron for 3,500 years. I could say 3,500 years and it just can just roll off your, you know, you'd be like, oh yeah. 3,500 years is a long time. The oldest places in America are 300 years old. This is an order of magnitude. 3,500 years we've been living in this town. And now today we're being accused of being foreigners. There's 1,000 Jews living in Hebron. Amongst about, and we have a sister city called Kiryat Arba, which is a biblical name. So we have about 10,000 Jews living in the area, and about 200,000 Arabs. And many of them are pro-Hamas, pro-Jihad, anti-Israel. And so therefore, we have a big battle in our hands to assert our historical connection, our rights to this land, and to push back on the narrative of Palestine, which is a replacement theology. I call it replacement narrative. It's here to replace Israel. We got to replace the replacement narrative.
Well, you know, you mentioned Hebron. Hebron is in biblical Judea, and then there is Samaria. So, and of course, the world will determine that those areas are the West Bank, which is not true. I mean, it's biblically, we're talking about Judea and Samaria. So you have that going on in Hebron, and we could talk about so many other communities across the land of Israel where there are Jewish people in the rightful place that God has given them, and then they are surrounded by terrorists and they're surrounded by people who want to just wipe them off of the land that God has given them. So let's talk about some of the current things that are happening right now in the land of Israel. We have a war going on, multiple fronts of wars, and I want to zero in right now on Gaza. Obviously, October 7th, the slaughter, the massacre of innocent Jewish people on that day that forever has changed the state of Israel and changed the Jewish people. So let's start right there, and then we're going to get into what's going on in Gaza right now. But how did that day change the fabric of the Jewish people there in Israel?
It's an interesting question, because if you ask a lot of people, they'll tell you that it was a, and I've heard people at this conference say that it was really a sea change day. It was a day that people realized, you know, that there's anti-Semitism is alive and well in this world, and that, you know, the Holocaust could happen at any time, and there's a lot of changes maybe in the army and the way that they understood how we should tactically deal with the enemies, and that many more people in the world were, you know, supportive of Israel. And a lot of people will tell you that. I am actually personally not of that opinion. I actually don't think that, if anything, I think a lot more hate has been unleashed. Hate, when done well, is very attractive. And hate of Jews is some kind of subconscious drive in this world. I think that Freud used to call it Thanatos, a self-destructive urge in mankind. I think that Israel hate is part of a destructive urge within mankind, a self-destructive urge. And I think that a lot of the world has actually been very attracted to the cataclysmic, godless, nihilist, violent, orgy-esque bloodletting that day had. And that's the irony is that people think that when you do something really bad, then everybody's turned off from you. It's the opposite. Do something really bad, people are like, it's like a molech, like a you know, a god where you sacrifice the children. There's something in humanity which is attracted to that, being procreative and building and light. It's also an attraction, but sometimes when darkness comes in, there's something that pulls you towards it. And so that's, I think, what happened. And I think that for people like me, I was in no way shocked by what happened. I was not shocked at the brutality of it. Nothing of it at all shocked me at all. And I know that sounds strange, but I just, being a student of history, I know what the jihad can do. And it does the same thing, by the way, almost every day in northern Nigeria. Boko Haram is doing the same thing to, you know, Christians, you know, in black Africa. These folks are ruthless, and I know what they did to Jews in 1929 in Hebron, which is the same thing. And so I know where they're coming from, and all their stuff that they did is classic. I only wish that we would have a big awakening. And there is some awakening, but it's only partial. And right now the jihad is on the march. And we got to hold on strong to make sure that the jihad doesn't, starts getting pushed back. And that's what we're going to have to do now. But it's not like October 7th was in many ways a great step for jihad. And we got to do great steps back. And I don't think that we've yet awakened fully to what it's about.
Now, you mentioned awakening. Are you talking about many like you are back to the Word of God? You've never left the Word of God. You believe the Word of God. You're a rabbi there in Israel. But are you talking about an awakening among the general population to get back to the Word of God? Is that what you're talking about?
You know, America, this country that we're recording in today, this great country, has been weakened very much by the erosion of identity, which is the work of progressivism. Progressivism is the thing that comes before jihadism. There's a progressive jihad alliance in this world. And the progressives erode local identity, local family, local military prowess, and then they allow the jihad to sneak in. This country has allowed the jihad to sneak in and immigrate into its country, establish centers, now electing jihadist, pro-jihad, congressmen and women, and has allowed its campuses and media to be taken over, everything from the New York Times to Harvard. One aspect of awakening is to see it for what it is. Your New York Times and your CNNs and your Harvards and your Michigans have been taken over by jihadism. That's one. Two, this country is trying to shrink the Jewish state in favor of the jihad, in favor of Iran, empowering Iran to the tune of billions. These are global suppressors, global oppressors. And there's no awakening on that either. And then faith in this country has become topical, has become skin deep, not serious, self-serving, and is not part of a mission. And this country has been blessed with peace, but peace also sometimes brings the opposite of blessing, because you start to become dull, and the television has dulled us, and the telephone, the smartphones have dulled us, and we don't see the attack coming anymore. We don't see the opportunity of using this country's wealth and power to be an offset to the evil kilter of this world, which is now tilting towards Russia, China, North Korea, Iran. And this country is no longer a counterweight to that. And so there's a lot of awakenings that October 7th could be bringing to us, but we need to see it more clearly. But we've become dull, and we've got to sharpen our senses again. We got to get sharp again and realize that the enemy's at the gate, and that opportunities are being missed, and that God is calling, and that this is the time. And that's why, John, I think also that being here at this conference today, at this summit in Tennessee, with Bible-believing Americans, values-caring Americans, Israel-loving Americans, has been an inspiration to me. The people here at this summit are the tip of the spear, the very best of America. And this is what America can be. But it's got to snap out of materialism and out of its slumber.
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, I think within the church in general in the United States, we've drifted away from the Word of God and so many other things that you were mentioning there. We're talking to Rabbi Ishai Flesher. He is the international spokesperson for Hebron in Israel, and he does so many other things. I encourage you to check him out online. You can Google his name. He's all over. He's got a podcast out there. So, the Biden administration, the world says, Ishai, that you guys should have a two-state solution, that you should tie yourselves back into the Palestinian Authority, you know, once Gaza is rid of the Hamas demonic forces, regime, whatever you want to call them. Once they're gone, we need to get the Palestinian Authority in there. And moreover, the Biden administration is saying, well, it's going to be a reformed Palestinian Authority. What do you think about that? Will that work for you in Israel?
Been there, done that, John. Creating a Palestine, anything with the word Palestine means it's anti-Israel. It's there to evict Jews, to ethnically cleanse Jews, and replace it narratively and physically. any kind of Palestine is an enemy of Israel. Let's just make it clear. And that's the problem with my leaders as well. They don't speak with clarity. And they don't speak with common sense. Can we get back to common sense? Palestine wants to erase and replace Israel. It's just that simple. And Gaza was given over to the Palestinian Authority, sadly. It's a beautiful part of Judean land, Jewish people's land. We had beautiful communities there until 2005. We ripped out our own communities and gave it to the jihad. I mean, how often can we repeat doing dumb things? Let's not do that anymore. That's exactly what I was saying before. October 7th is a reset, potentially. So let's not go for the same old stuff. Let's not give away our land to the jihad and over to the so-called Palestinians. They're just going to become enemies of Israel. And there are elements today in the American government that are Israel shrinkers. They're Israel shrinkers. Israel shrinking is bad. Israel shrinking means weakness. Weakness means more jihadism. More jihadism means less liberty in this world. It means less God in this world. It means more oppression in this world. So why should we do that? Let's push back on those forces of darkness.
All right, we want to take an opportunity here, just in the final little part of this Middle East report. I want to throw some words at you, and I want you, as someone who lives in Israel, who is a rabbi, who loves the land of Israel, to tell me what you think when I say these things and you know what it means to you. Free, free Palestine. You're hearing this all over college campuses all across the country. So free, free Palestine?
Free, free Palestine is kill, kill Israel. That's what that means. It just means let's get rid of the Jewish state. And it's through the language of freedom and liberty, but it actually wants to destroy Israel. And it's anything but giving liberty to ancestral peoples, indigenous peoples. That's the Jewish people in this land. We are a tiny part of the Middle East. This is our ancestral land. We have every right to it. So when you say free, free Palestine, what you're really saying is kill the Jews, get rid of Israel.
All right. From the river to the sea, another chant that you hear, you know, all around the world and across our country here in the United States.
Right. From the river to the sea. Great chant because it rhymes, right? So from the river to the sea, Israel shall be free and the Jewish people will be set free. River to the sea is the simple borders of the land of Israel. Very simple. From the River Jordan to the Mediterranean. It's a tiny piece of land, much smaller than New Jersey, a bit smaller than New Jersey. And when they say from the river to the sea, what they mean is, let's get rid of the Jews and replace it with Palestine. Just what I said to you before, erase and replace. And instead of that, we have to say from the river to the sea is exactly what Israel should be. And if you're in Israel, you could buy a keychain today that the Arabs sell, which has the borders of the land of Israel, but it says Palestine on it. So now we know what they want. They want to erase and replace us. Let's just say it for what it is. And I want to say that I want to erase Palestine because that is a name that the Romans gave the land of Israel in order to erase the Jewish people's identity and connection to the land. So I am against Palestine all the way. You want a Palestine? You have 22 Arab countries to form it in. This land is ours. It is given to us by God. It is recognized so in the Torah, in the Christian texts, in the Quran. And so and then the international community also recognized it as ours already in 1917, 1920 at San Remo, 1922, the mandate for a Jewish Palestine. So it's time to recognize these things and talk about it forthrightly. If we wishy-wash it and say that we can coexist with the Palestine, it'll continue to erase us.
So free, free Palestine from the river to the sea. And when we talk about free, free Palestine, you mentioned the jihadists and those that want to wipe Israel off the map. All you have to do, really, is look at Iran, where there is no freedom, and that's what they want for Israel. Is it not?
You know what? I'm going to answer that differently, which is if we had guts, then we'd say, not only are we going to defend from Iran, we're going to fight Iran until we liberate the people of Iran from that awful regime. That's the only way. That's what I'm trying to say to you, John. If you talk about it defensively, you don't get anywhere. We got to get rid of those bad guys. We just got to get rid of them. And those bad guys are bad for the whole region, for millions of people. They are dictators. They are abusers. And we got to get rid of those guys.
All right, we're talking to Ishai Flesher. He is a rabbi, the international spokesperson for Hebron. So we're talking about all these hard issues. We have wars going on in Israel. But people who are listening right now, who love the Jewish people, love the land of Israel, and they're thinking, what in the world can I do? I mean, there's so many issues. There's so much going on. It's just overwhelming. The person who's listening right now, who loves you, the Jewish person, the Jewish people, the land of Israel, the Bible, What can they do about all the stuff that's going on right now in Israel?
Well, as I've said on stage here at the summit, there's a few simple things that we got to do. First thing is that we got to focus on the youth. The youth. If you don't take time to connect the youth to Israel and to the story of Israel, they're going to get connected the other way. You got to remember that TikTok is showing 100 messages of Hamas to one pro-Israel message. So you got to know that. So you got to focus on the youth. You make a radio show, make a show for the youth as well. Make sure that they're connected, okay? So it's time to work at every single forum that we have to make sure that on campus, at your local house of prayer, wherever you are connecting the youth. That's number one. Number two, the Bible. We talk about the Bible, but do we really mean it? For example, do people know the book of Genesis? I am a believer that everybody's got to study the book of Genesis. Study the book of Genesis, you're going to understand much better who's right and who's wrong, what the land of Israel is, what Abraham is, what prophecy is, what morality is. Study the book of Genesis. The next thing is, make sure to elect the right officials. Make sure that your officials, your people of power from the lowest level to the highest level, are people of faith, are people that have people of strength and courage, people that know the truth about Israel. And make sure that at every level, like for example, here at this event, we had a hotel cancel because they were being threatened. And Dave Ramsey, the great Dave Ramsey, famous Dave Ramsey, is like, he heard about that and he stepped in and gave us this event space to use because he's been raised with those values. And he's been raised also with a connection to Israel. My good friends from City of David connected to Dave and have always given him that connection to Jerusalem. And that's our job. My job is to make sure that you, John, are connected to Jerusalem and to Hebron and to come out here and make sure that connection is strong. That's my job as well. God is calling to the nations right now. And I heard Tommy Waller say something amazing, which is that the Jews were supposed to fight with the Ammonites because they didn't welcome them to the land of Israel with bread and water. The nations of the world are supposed to be welcoming the ingathering of the exiles with minimal stuff like bread and water. But instead, they're fighting us. And we got to push back on that. We got to say the truth. God is ingathering the Jewish people to the land of Israel. They have every right to that land. Jihadism is bad. We got to push back on it. Palestine is an anti-Israel movement. Let's get common sense and reality back in the foreground. Let's start talking about them. And we got to talk about it forthrightly, without embarrassment, with clarity, without wishy-washiness. We got to set out a vision. And when we do that, I think a lot of people will follow. But in the meantime, our wishy-washiness and our weakness to the jihad has weakened our position. We got to turn it around right now.
We do. And, of course, you mentioned so many great things, Ishai, that we can do. And, you know, I always zone in on the Bible because I just totally agree with you. We have got to get back to the Word of God. The Scriptures were written by Jewish people. And for those of you who are listening, maybe that's not a surprise, but the Scriptures are written by Jewish people, and as Christians, people who love the land of Israel, we have a huge connection with the land of Israel. We have a huge connection with the Jewish people, and we cannot just stand idly by and let all of the anti-Semitism just rise here in our country and around the world. People who love Israel and love the Jewish people cannot remain silent, and we can't let what happened, you know, in the run-up to World War II and the Holocaust, where we just remain silent. We can't let that happen.
I don't think America wants to go down that road. And remember that in the end, the road to... Somebody said, a speaker yesterday said a great line. He said 6 million Jews were killed in the Holocaust, but 60 million were killed in World War II. And therefore, the meaning of that is that when the Jews suffer, other good people suffer. And it would be a shame to see this country go down that path. The Jewish people will survive. We will keep going. That's just God's way. We go through horrible stuff, but we keep going because we're the people of God, and we go through challenges like Abraham almost had to sacrifice his own son. And that's really every Jewish father has to almost sacrifice his generation after generation. But we don't want America to go down that way. I think America is a blessed land, and it's got a lot of faith. And it's got to use that power or else face shrinkage. When your leaders want to shrink Israel, at the end it boomerangs and it shrinks. America can shrink a lot, economically and otherwise, in just a push of a button. And so there's the simple question, you know, do you want to stay blessed and big? continue to make sure your country is a country of blessing. But if you allow your country to be led by Israel shrinkers, don't be surprised if America ends up shrinking.
Well, God's word is clear about blessing Israel. You're gonna be blessed. You curse Israel, you're gonna be cursed. I mean, God's word is absolutely clear on that. Rabbi Ishai Flesher, the international spokesperson for Hebron, thank you so much for joining us here on the Middle East Report. I want to encourage people to connect with what you do there in the land of Israel. How do they do that? They just Google your name, or is there an easy way to get a hold of you?
You can Google my name, and I'm on all the social medias, and especially on YouTube, Ishai Flesher. But another way is to check out what we do in Hebron, which is to protect the tomb of the forefathers and mothers and get inspiration from them. And continue to promote the book of Genesis. And that's at hebronfund.org. Hebron, HebronFund.org.
I want to encourage you to reach out to Rabbi Flesher by visiting hebronfund.org. You're going to find a lot of helpful information on ways to support and improve the daily life for the residents and soldiers of Hebron and Israel. Rabbi Flesher gives you the opportunity through HebronFund.org to stand up for Israel in some very practical ways. He'll show you how to destroy the false narratives and proclaim the truth about what's happening in Israel. Of course, the most important thing that we can do is make sure that we are connected to the Word of God. Rabbi Flesher made a great point of encouraging everyone to be a biblical student, read, and study God's Word. Start by reading and studying the book of Genesis. You know, this is the foundational book in the Bible, which will help you understand better the plans and purposes that God has for the world and the unbreakable covenant that God has with the Jewish people and the land of Israel. You know, we have to remember that the Bible is a Jewish book. It was written by the Jewish people, and we have to remember and understand that we have a huge connection to the Jewish people and the land of Israel. The Word of God is clear that we should not only pray for the Jewish people, but support them in practical ways, and Rabbi Flesher gives you an opportunity to do that through HebronFund.org. Now, this broadcast was recorded at a conference sponsored by the Israel Guys, an organization that brings you the truth about what's happening in the biblical heartland of Israel. You can connect with them by visiting theisraelguys.com. That's theisraelguys.com. You'll be connected to news, updates, and videos about what's happening in Israel to counter the false narratives coming from news organizations, college campuses, and even the United Nations. You have to be connected to trusted sources of news and information when it comes to Israel and the Jewish people. The Israel Guys do an awesome job of keeping you connected with the truth. That's the Middle East Report, and I want to encourage you to download a podcast of the show wherever you get your podcasts. I'm John Riley.